Hello, I'm Carol Waddis and I'm sitting with cabaret star, entertainer, actor and cult diva Ursula Martinez backstage at the Barbican, where Martinez is about to launch her latest show, My Stories, Your Emails, for 2 weeks at starting from February the 2nd. Ursula has been making waves in various forms since at least the mid-1990s, when, as one critic put it, Ursula Martinez took the Ducky stage at London's Royal Vauxhall Tavern and they're still waiting for her to give it back. That was 13 years ago. Since then, she's been at the forefront of alternative theatre and cabaret with shows like Ducky at the Barbican and more personal accounts of herself and her family in A Family Outing, Show Off and Me, Me, Me. Lately, she's become even more celebrated for her Hanky Panky turn, which brings us neatly to her latest offering. Ursula, welcome to Theatre Voice.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Which would you prefer to be called, cabaret star, entertainer or actor?
Definitely not actor. I'm doing a process of elimination here. Entertainer would be my preferred one of the three.
Why would it be entertainer?
Because I think entertainer encompasses cabaret diva and actor and performance artist, and I think it's more encompassing of different sorts of performance.
And the kind of work that you do that actually embraces all of those different things, doesn't it?
If we think about... I'm a bit of a comedian, I'm a bit of a cabaret performer, I'm a bit of an actor, I'm a bit of a performance artist. Artist is also a good description.
Where would you place then this present show that we're going to talk about, which is called My Stories, Your Emails, is this more of the artist, is it more of the actor, or is it more of the comedian?
Oh gosh.
Or entertainer?
It is all those things. I mean, on my blurb I say, I think I've got something like combines storytelling, stand-up, live art, and character comedy. So it does combine different genres in the show. This is possibly the closest show to a stand-up comedy show, if you like. And I will be taking it to the Melbourne Comedy Festival at the end of March, which is the first time that I will be presented within the context of a comedy festival. It's also a piece of contemporary theatre.
Okay, so where did this show start?
This show came about because of my infamous Striptease Act, Hanky Panky, becoming an internet phenomena. 3 years ago, the act was, I suppose, illegally posted on the internet. Certainly, my permission wasn't sought and wouldn't have been given. It found its way on the internet, and thereafter I started receiving emails from fans from all over the world. Most of it very innocuous, harmless, positive, charming emails. And some of it not so charming, quite inappropriate, and somewhat delusional. At first, I felt very threatened by the fact that my Striptease Act was on the internet. For the first time, I realised that I'd lost control over a performance piece that, in a live context, is a very empowering act. It takes the art of striptease, I think, turns it on its head, makes it a very empowering... there's a very empowering nakedness to the piece, which is not really where I'm coming from. This is what I've been told from people watching it, from journalists who've seen it, that it's very confident, and it takes the art of striptease, kind of turns it round and brings it back to the artist having all the power and control over the audience, as opposed to the other way around. But with it being on the internet, I had completely lost control over it, that I'd lost control over the sites that it goes on, over the context that it goes into. You know, some people have put it into porn sites or erotic sites or striptease sites,
I would never perform the act in a strip club, for example.
So that it's the way that they're looking at it, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yes, it's the context that they've chanced upon it. It's how they've found it and the context that it's being presented in. So, you know, I'm also not blaming the viewers from their inappropriate responses, because in many ways they're seeing it in a context that of course they're going to misunderstand the performance, because they're seeing it in an inappropriate context. And I was very threatened for a long time, and then I decided to make a show with this material, because I'd presented some of the material in a sort of scratch performance, and some people had been blown away by the material and said, "This is amazing stuff, you ought to think about putting it into a show." And this is when really the tables started turning, and I managed to turn around a negative experience into quite a positive experience, which was kind of channeling this material and making a show from it. And the material is amazing in many ways. Some of it is extremely ordinary, and its ordinariness is what is amazing about it, or funny, or extraordinary. So its very ordinariness becomes extraordinary, and some of the material is extraordinary just in itself. So it's a win-win situation with all the material, because it's just fascinating. It's fascinating stuff, and you know, it paints a kind of fascinating picture of, I suppose. Idolatry, and I'm never sure if that's the right word, but I think it is. Of how people who've seen people on the internet or television and put them on a pedestal and are fascinated by them and impose upon them who they are.
Absolutely. It's one of the prices in this culture that we live in, of celebrity and fame, isn't it? That people's internal preconceptions, as it were, get foisted onto the artist.
Absolutely.
And the fact that the disjunction between the human being who is the artist and the fantasies of the viewer
absolutely
are the things that get completely twisted.
Absolutely. Which is what brings us to the first half of the show, which is my stories. When I decided to present this material, I thought, well, I don't want to just present this material. I have to present something alongside it to counterbalance it or to complement it in some way, which is why the first part of the show is my stories. And in my stories, here is where the audience actually gets to meet me, the ordinary person, with my vulnerabilities and my insecurities and my ordinary life, living every day, walking the dog in the park, or having a row with my mum, or any of these very ordinary things. And that was important, that you see that juxtaposition, if you like, of me as an ordinary human being, and then the person that I'm told I am through the fan mail. And they're two extremely different things.
Now, this second outing, outing being perhaps an operative word, but it's already been seen. I haven't seen the show, and I should just tell people who are listening to this recording that I first saw Ursula's work about
10 years ago,
when you did a family outing at the Drill Hall. Mm-hmm. And then the years passed by, and then I was invited to see La Clique at the Roundhouse just before Christmas, and I saw you do your striptease with a lovely contrasting act about the Spanish woman from Croydon.
Yes.
And the two acts together, I suddenly realised that it was you, and that
person.
I hadn't seen you, and that the work had developed. And I could see up there on that stage, A, that the striptease was the funniest, wittiest, sleekest, and most professional thing I'd ever seen. Not that I see a lot of striptease. But I was just fascinated, because what I saw up there was an international star. And 8 years ago, I saw a young radical performing artist at the Drill Hall. And there was such an amazing development. So I was just very interested to find out, really, I think, I was so delighted at the development over an eight-year period, which you're probably not even aware of yourself. Or do you feel that you've developed a lot in the last 8 years? Hard to say.
I don't feel like an international star, and I don't really know what that means. Yeah, I'm aware that a lot more people know who I am now because of my exposure on the internet. Sometimes that's not such a great thing, as is presented in the show. I'm aware that that I'm in demand. I'm aware that if I put on a show in London, as long as it's got enough publicity, people will come and it will probably sell out because people know who I am. And that's what I want.
But that wasn't your intention, was it, to be famous?
No, and when I say that's what I want to be able to do a show in London and people come and audiences come and enjoy it, and my audiences increase and my recognition out in the theatre going and cabaret going world increases. Does that mean I want fame? Not to me, it doesn't. I don't want fame. And the things that goes with fame, which is weird fan mail and stalkers and all that kind of stuff. I don't want that, and I've never sought that. I just want to make my work, and I want people to enjoy it.
So, if just to be super serious,
I've been asked to do lots of TV shows. I've been asked to do my striptease act on TV shows. I've been asked to go on Britain's Got Talent. No way. No way.
So if we were to try to describe, because I know that you were at Lancaster with Pete Brooks, and that was your first introduction into in alternative theatre, mm-hmm. and cabaret, and a lot of your shows either have been commissioned or were first seen in queer up north festivals,
mm-hmm.
although this one is now has now been commissioned by the Barbican,
who've
been
right.
huge supporters of your work. But if I pushed you to describe the aesthetic behind your work, would that be difficult to sum it up in?
Yeah, it would be difficult to sum it up. I mean
you're a performing artist.
Yeah, there's one common thread in all of my work, whether that be, you know, a cabaret show, a solo theatre show, a larger theatre production with a big cast. For example, Office Party, which is a show that I made with a collaborator, Christopher Green. The common thread in all of the work, I think, is humour or comedy, either of those words. That's definitely the common thread. And then aesthetic, that would be too difficult.
Right.
Because I inhabit different worlds, the kind of cabaret world, a commercial world, a more alternative theatre world. Yeah, there isn't necessarily.
Would it be to investigate who you are and your identity? I've read in a couple of.
Well, that's why I don't like. That's why I definitely shy away from the word actor, because an actor rarely presents him. An actor rarely presents him or herself, whereas I'm almost constantly presenting myself in some way. That's not to say that there isn't an element of acting in that, because of course even when you're presenting yourself, the very nature of presenting yourself on stage is a slightly contrived or false scenario, because you're presenting something that you presumably you've rehearsed. You've written it and you've rehearsed it and you've refined it, so even if you're presenting yourself, an element of acting is required to do so. But I do shy away from the word actor, because I constantly seek to present myself on stage as much as possible. I don't use a different name. Even in my cabaret, I don't even use a cabaret name, which in the sort of cabaret burlesque scene, lots of people assume different names. I never do that. I always use my own name.
So we never see the real Ursula Martinez on stage, do we? We see a kind of facsimile or a fabrication.
In my stories, your emails, I try and present myself as close to myself as possible. I use my own voice. I wear my own clothes. I'm telling truths. As I say, going back to the fact that it is a show that is rehearsed. of course, it's never 100% the real you, because the real you out in the real world hopefully doesn't go around having rehearsed conversations with people. So of course it's a contrived concept, but I try as much as possible to present the real me within the limitations of the fact that it's a theatre show at the end of the day.
And so what you're looking at isn't what you're looking at.
Exactly.
In a sense. I haven't talked about the fact that it first started out, it was commissioned by Queer Up North,
this show was commissioned, co-commissioned with
co-commission.
Queer Up North and
okay.
The Barbican.
All right. Yeah. So it first appeared in May, didn't it?
That's right. Yeah.
Last year. Yeah. And how many performances did it have?
I did 4 performances.
And how did that go?
Extremely well. I got great press, and I also got some fan mails afterwards, and I was very pleased to see that audiences who've come to see the show were not put off from sending me a fan mail afterwards, and that was very refreshing.
And has the show changed at all since it was first done in Manchester?
Not in terms of its structure. Its structure is very much set. The two halves of the show, my stories, your emails, but it is almost a work in progress because the stories that I tell are things that a lot of the stories are from the past, but if I were to leave here this afternoon and have an interesting encounter with somebody on the bus home, that story could end up in the show next week. And similarly, between here and next week, invariably I will get some fan mail, because I do get fan mail almost every day. I mean, it's not quite as fast and furious as it was at the beginning when the act first appeared on the internet, but it still trickles in every day. So I get an interesting piece of correspondence between now and next week that could also similarly make it into the show.
And does the show, as obviously I haven't seen it, but does the show make any judgments on the people who send you emails, or are you quite generous towards them, do you think?
I like to think...
You just present them.
I like to think that I'm extremely generous. I present them, and there's not a single adjective attributed to anybody or a description from me regarding my own personal opinion of any of the material.
That is very generous of you, isn't it? I mean, another person might feel that all those rather strange reactions to you as a human being, that there you are in control of the show, that you'd have the right to make some kind of comment on them. But
yeah, but see, that's also, I don't feel that that's my job, to pass comment on others, and that's not what I'm interested in doing in my life. I'm an observer of the world, and I love observing the world, and I love people, and I love meeting people and different sorts of people. And so my job as an artist in this particular piece is to present that world that intrigues me and fascinates me and tickles me and amuses me and saddens me, and all of those things. I'm simply presenting it, which in some ways is a comment in itself. The fact that you're in the choice of material paints a picture of what I'm interested in, so that is a comment in some way. But there's no overt commentary.
And do you still do the hanky-panky in it? Or you're not letting on about that?
I'm not letting on about that. Will she or won't she?
Will she? And it's going to Australia, but you say it's going in the comedy festival.
Yeah, that's right. It's just the first time my work has been presented in a comedy context, and I think that I'm excited by this. I'm excited because my work doesn't fit into the conventional side of stand-up comedy, which is quite a conventional world that doesn't necessarily push boundaries in terms of format and aesthetic.
And there aren't that many women anyway.
And there aren't that many women.
Doing comedy.
There aren't that many women. So I think it's very much stretching the boundaries and the format of stand-up comedy. So in that sense, it's challenging comedy. But there's no doubt that the show is intended to be funny.
But will they get... I mean, if it's funny, and humour is so related to the culture in which you live and the cultural references, are you confident that the Australian audiences are going to get those references?
I'm confident that the Australians will, yeah.
And you've worked in Australia before?
I've worked in Australia before. Yeah. I mean, I find Australia culturally very, very close to England. I mean, you know, they've had a lot of the same TV programmes, you know, growing up that I did. Because their imports were from Britain rather than from America. I've no doubt the Aussies will get it.
Well, I hope it's a huge success, and I look forward to seeing it at the Barbican.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.